This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today I continue my sermon series on major sections of the Old Testament minor prophets. And today's sermon is based on the book of the prophet Jonah. Now let's be honest. Most people are not very familiar with the names of the Old Testament minor prophets, except when it comes to the prophet Jonah. That's right, most people, if they attended church or Sunday school at all, they remember hearing about Jonah and the whale. You know how Jonah was swallowed by a whale, and then after a few days, the whale spit Jonah back onto dry land. Most people know about that. But that's often the extent of the knowledge about Jonah that most people have. So what is God's message for us today through his prophet Jonah? Well, first of all, let me give you a little background information about Jonah. What you need to know is that Jonah is not a fairy tale. It's not some myth. Jonah was a real person. He lived in a real place and a real time in history. In fact, Jonah preached around the same time as the prophet Hosea. His ministry was from around 793 BC to about 753 BC. We know this because in 2 Kings chapter 14, we're told that the prophet Jonah preached to Jeroboam II, king of northern Israel. And we know when his reign was. So we know when the ministry of Jonah took place. Now, if you recall my first two sermons of the book of Hosea, God was warning northern Israel that unless they repented of their sin, they would eventually be destroyed by the Assyrian Empire. Now, what was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire? You got it. Nineveh. And let me tell you something about Nineveh. Nineveh had quite the reputation, and it was not a good reputation. They were known as an ungodly and violent city. In fact, Nineveh's armies were guilty of the most horrible, inhumane, violent atrocities that you could imagine when they attacked cities. I don't even want to tell you what they did to people. And on top of that, they worshipped false gods and they rejected the one true God who was proclaimed by the prophets of Israel and Judah. However, even though God plans to use Nineveh to eventually punish the northern kingdom of Israel if they refuse to repent, what we learn today is that God wants to give the people of Nineveh in Jonah's time one more chance to hear his word, repent, and be saved. Therefore, God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach judgment against them in the hope that they will repent and seek the Lord and be saved. But what does Jonah do? Jonah runs in the opposite direction. He eventually rents passage in a boat headed for a place called Tarshish. Now, why did Jonah refuse to go to Nineveh? Was it because he was scared that the people of Nineveh would persecute him when he came to them with that message of judgment? Well, I'm sure there was part of him that was scared, but that was not the reason that he ran from God. What we find out later is that Jonah was actually worried that the people of Nineveh might actually repent and seek the Lord. And he knew that if they did that, God would forgive them. And guess what? Jonah didn't want God to forgive Nineveh because he hated them. Nineveh had done horrible things to God's people, and Jonah held a grudge. Jonah wanted them to burn in hell. So Jonah runs from God. But as you know, you can't run from God. During a horrible storm, Jonah ends up in the ocean, and then God sends a huge sea creature to swallow Jonah alive. Now, I know that most of you have been taught that it was a whale that swallowed Jonah, and it might have been some kind of a whale. But you see, the original Hebrew word is somewhat general and vague. It could refer to any type of sea creature. It could be a whale, it could be a shark, or some other extinct creature that we don't even know about. The point is, God sent this creature to save Jonah from drowning. However, I don't know about you, but I think I'd rather drown and die than get swallowed by a sea creature. I don't even want to think what it must have been like spending 3 days in the stomach of a sea creature. And I'm sure Jonah wasn't having any fun. In fact, he's finally moved to pray. That's right, when he's in the belly of the sea creature, he prays to the very God that he's running from. And God hears his prayer. Eventually, God sends the sea creature to vomit Jonah up on shore. And now Jonah is finally ready to submit to the Lord. But before I talk about what happens next, I'd like to focus on part of the prayer that Jonah prayed when he was in the stomach of the sea creature. Listen to this part of his prayer. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake the grace that could be theirs. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you, O Lord. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Now, what does this part of Jonah's prayer teach us? Two things. First of all, Jonah correctly prays that those who reject God and worship idols are thereby rejecting the mercy and love that God wants to give them. And I'm sure Jonah was thinking of the people of Nineveh. He was thinking, yeah, those idol worshippers, those people who bow down to false gods, they're pushing away the salvation that God wants to give them. But here's the second thing we learn from Jonah's prayer. Jonah confesses that he does trust in God and that he will sacrifice to him if only God will give him life. Now, why does Jonah want to sacrifice to God? Does God need stuff from us? No, God doesn't need anything from us. In fact, if you recall, the reason God commanded his people to offer animal blood sacrifices is that those sacrifices were signs to the people that their sins would be forgiven because one day an innocent victim would suffer in their place of punishment. So God commanded his people to offer sacrifices not because God needed them. I mean, what does God need from us? He's the creator of everything. No, the reason he told them to offer sacrifices was that those sacrifices pointed them ahead to Jesus and what he would do for them. So Jonah ends up on shore. He's humbled and he plans to go to Nineveh after all. But there's still part of Jonah that doesn't quite understand God and his love. You see, Jonah has absolutely no problem with God forgiving his sin. But Jonah still has a huge problem with God forgiving the sin of the people of Nineveh. Remember what happens? Jonah goes and preaches judgment upon Nineveh just as God commanded. But the Holy Spirit works through that message to convict the people of Nineveh. They humble themselves before the Lord. They seek Him and beg Him for mercy. And what does God do? He forgives them. But how does Jonah respond? Listen. O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Wow. It's hard to imagine one of God's own prophets talking that way. When we hear Jonah respond like this, we want to say, boy, what a jerk. However, we should not be too quick to condemn Jonah. You see, we also can be jerks sometimes, can't we? For example, are there people in your life you refuse to forgive? Are there people you think should never be forgiven because of the horrible things they've done? Are there some people you hate so much that you wish they would burn in hell? If that's your attitude, then you're no better than Jonah. And remember what God said to Jonah? He said, "Have you any right to be angry? Nineveh has more than 120,000 people. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" The title of today's sermon is, God Wants All to Be Saved. In the book of Jonah, we see that God was willing to forgive the people of Nineveh when they repented of their sin. But that leads to a question. Why did God forgive them? Did he forgive them because they weren't really all that bad after all? No. Their reputation was notorious. They were horrible people. Why did God forgive them? Doesn't God teach in Scripture that he must punish sin? Yes, he certainly does. So how could God forgive the people of Nineveh when all they deserved was his wrath? But we might as well ask, how can God forgive you? How can God forgive me? Because the Bible is clear that we also deserve nothing but God's wrath. So how can God forgive us? The answer, of course, is God's Son. In our gospel reading from Matthew, we see that the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day refused to believe in Jesus unless he gives them a sign of their own choosing. Now, this is really crazy. Jesus has already given them plenty of signs. He's been doing miracles all over the place, proving that he is the Son of God and the Savior promised from the Old Testament. But none of those miracles are good enough for them. No, they want Jesus to give them a sign of their own choosing. Why? They're hoping he really won't be able to do it because, honestly, they don't want to believe in him. They don't like what he's saying. They don't like the fact that he's telling them to repent and trust in him for salvation. And so what does Jesus say to them? He says, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. Well, now we know how it's possible for God to forgive us sinners, even though we don't deserve it. You see, Jesus said that just like Jonah was in the belly of a huge fish for 3 days, he would be in the ground for 3 days. But why would Jesus be in the ground? Because he would be dead. He's going to die. But why will Jesus die if he really is the Son of God as he claimed? If Jesus is God in human flesh, how is it possible for anybody to take his life? Well, the fact is, nobody did take his life. He laid down his life willingly. Why did he lay down his life willingly? Well, remember what God told Jonah and all his Old Testament people? Offer those animal blood sacrifices. Why? Because they will point you ahead to the one sacrifice that will provide salvation for all people. Jesus willingly laid down his life on the cross for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of the people of Nineveh, for all people, that we might be forgiven and have new life with God. As we heard in our reading from 1 John, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. But sadly, when the Jewish leaders saw the sign of Jonah, when they saw Jesus die on the cross and then 3 days later were told that he had risen from the dead, even though God had given them this awesome sign, they still refused to repent and believe in Jesus. Jesus died for them, but they could not receive his salvation because they refused to repent of their sin and trust in Christ as their Savior. As we heard in our reading from 1 John, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is no place in our lives. Simply put, my friends, if you end up in hell, you have no one to blame but yourself. Why? Because God wants all to be saved. That's why God uses his word to condemn the sin in our lives. Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. When he breaks us and shows us our sin, he only does that so that we will run to him in repentance and faith and know that we can receive forgiveness. Not because we deserve it, not because we can somehow buy God off, but because he gave his only son to the cross in our place of judgment that we might be forgiven. As we heard in 1 John, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And then John goes on to say, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that amazing? God wants all that he saved, even though we don't deserve it. Now, with that understood, I have a very interesting piece of trivia for you. Did you know that the ancient city of Nineveh was located in the exact same area as the modern city of Mosul in Iraq? Isn't that interesting? In Jonah's day, the city of Nineveh constantly persecuted the people of God. And today, in Iraq and other Middle Eastern countries, there are Muslims who would love to kill Christians. Things haven't changed much over hundreds of years. So what are we to think of our enemies in the Middle East that would like to kill Christians? Well, even though our nation has a right to protect itself, and even though we should hold evil people accountable for their crimes, as Christians, we also pray that God would turn the hearts of our enemies and lead them to repentance and faith in Christ so that they too might receive forgiveness and eternal life with God's people. But what if we think that the people in Iraq or other places are too sinful to be forgiven? Well, then we're forgetting that we don't deserve salvation either, and that we're saved purely by grace. If we think that others are beyond the grace of Christ, if we hope others will burn in hell, then we're no better than Jonah. In fact, this reminds me of something that happened just a few years ago when our church brought a man here to speak about how God transformed his life and brought him to faith in Jesus. This man had once been a Muslim and even a terrorist. But the good news about Jesus changed his heart. And now he was a Christian who was preaching the message of forgiveness and love in Jesus' name. How many of you remember when we brought that man here? Quite a few of you. But did you know that a few days before that event, I got a phone call here at church? It was an anonymous phone call. The man wouldn't introduce himself. He wouldn't tell me his name. But he told me that he was planning to cause some trouble because our church had the gall to invite a terrorist here. Well, I tried to lovingly explain to the man, well, yes, he used to be a terrorist, but he's a Christian now. He was converted to faith in Jesus. He's here to tell us about God's love. And you know what this man said? I don't care. He doesn't deserve to be forgiven. I hope he burns in hell forever. You see, my friends, that's the kind of hard-hearted unbelief that God wants to rescue us from today. God is using the book of Jonah to show us that He wants all to be saved. And if we become angry because God has mercy on others, then we are forgetting that we don't deserve to be saved either. And that we are also saved by grace. The message of the book of Jonah is so comforting, my friends. What is God saying to you today? He's saying, I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you may have been running from me. Come to me. Come to me with your sin and trust in my Son, and you will be forgiven. You will no longer be my enemy. You will be my adopted child, my dearly loved child. That's the kind of God we have, my friends. A God who loved his enemies so much that he was willing to damn his one and only Son in their place that they might be forgiven and become his children. So that's why we pray for the unbelievers of this world and we witness to them. We do this in the hope that they will repent and trust in Christ and be saved along with us. Because the God we worship is a God who wants all to be saved. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes our